On tonight's After Show, we break down episodes 2 and 3 of Chasing the Cure. 8 medical mysteries will be tackled in a cool special segment called Tools for the Cure. So stick around for that. It's the Chasing the Cure After Show, and it starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
How's everyone doing out there on the internet land?
We need this good music.
Yeah, we do.
Because it's kind of a sad show, so we need the positive energy.
That's true. It can be very, very sad, very cool sometimes. Chasing the Cure After Show. Of course, my name is Flobo Boyce. Thank you so much for keeping me in your life and second screens. Chasing the Cure Episodes 2 and 3. A lot of things happened today, right? But before we get into all that, I want to introduce my co-host today, Miss Sierra Stafford. She is on Black Hollywood Live and After Buzz, a staple, a legend. Yes. In her own right?
Not legend. I like it. Okay.
Yeah.
Since I'm a legend, I might as well claim it. I'm Sierra Stafford, the legend. How are you? I'm just kidding.
I like it. It's played off pretty smooth, man. So I don't know if we talked about this in the first episode, but the very, very idea of Chasing the Cure, that crowdsourcing can help these individuals find, like, cures for their diseases. That's one of your opinions and thoughts about that. I know that may seem kind of, like, unorthodox, right?
Yeah, honestly, yes and no. I was actually thinking about that. I was on my way here. I love the whole aspect of the show. Once you think about it, it's kind of like this saying, what the doctors won't do, someone else will. And I kind of felt like this platform of a show was kind of to help those people that, you know, the doctors couldn't help out, or you know, no one knows what their condition is. So I feel like it's not only good for the people that are on the show trying to get help, but people who are also at home on the couch watching who might have the same condition, or you know, just have similar issues they want to go through. So I feel like it's a very good show. I don't feel like it's unorthodox, because I'm pretty, everyone there is, you know, has the degrees, they're professional.
Sure. So absolutely,
it's definitely credible, definitely trustworthy. So I'm here for it. I love it.
Yeah, and you interact with the website chasingthecurealive.com.
yeah,
and, yeah, I've been perusing some of the cases themselves, and it's a lot of times you'll see someone with someone just a situation so sad, you're just like, oh my gosh.
Exactly.
You know? But the idea,
I'm a crybaby. I don't know why I'm watching this. I don't know who signed me up, but yeah. I'm a crybaby.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't. I get a little lump in the throat. You know, I'm kind of like, dang, man. Like, you know, like,
yes.
Jeremy in the episode 1 with the lesions on his face, I was like, man, I felt like the whole I was bullied too, and you had a little kindred spirit going on. Episode 2 actually was one that got me interested into the series itself. Episode 1 kind of set the ground rules for what the show was about.
Yeah.
This one, I really felt they got into the groove. For example, sisters Monique and Tori had this situation with, they had unexplained swelling in their bodies their entire lives. Now,
yes.
I could imagine how someone would feel going that. Thoughts about that whole case right there? Just overall thoughts of that case?
Well, for one, it's a sad story, but it makes me feel better that they are sisters and they both can have each other to go through with this.
Right.
I remember Monique was saying, or Tori was saying, I'm sorry, you know, my sister's going through this too, so it kind of makes me feel good that I'm not the only one that has this rare condition.
Right.
So that part of it made me feel good. They have each other to lean on, but their overall disease in general is scary. They've been dealing with this since they were kids. They're now full-blown adults, and they're still having to go through pain, you know, going through getting stitches, getting surgeries. And Tori talked about how her leg was almost had to get amputated, but it didn't. So just to hear, like, their whole journey, it's kind of sad. And the fact that, you know, like I said, they're adults now, and there's still no cure since they were kids, that's kind of like, okay, something has to happen.
Yeah, you'll definitely see a through line with a lot of these cases, that there's also that psychological element, right?
Mm-hmm.
You thought you're able body, you don't know what's going on, then someone says, hey, look, we may have to take your leg away, and that just must be crazy.
Exactly.
But due to that special procedure, she was able to save it.
Yeah.
It said that her disease was actually diagnosed as hereditary angioedema, which was awesome because the community came forward with that diagnosis. So, you know, we also about having the expert panel and doctors themselves doing a good thing, but every so once in a while, the people tuning in can actually help out.
Exactly. And I was surprised, because, I mean, a lot of people, and that's for everyone, not just them, but, like, everyone has something to say or some advice to give for someone. So I know a lot of people in the story, their stuff has been actually, they found a cause for it or a cure for it, I should say. But I do hope that, you know, the other people that are giving their advice, it actually benefits somebody.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It actually helps.
I know we're jumping ahead, but in episode 3, there was a bit of an update. And it turns out that people were actually sending them videos and saying, hey, look, there's one instance where a person said, hey, look, there's a doctor that can actually treat that kind of disease.
Oh, wow.
And it's so close to to where you guys live. And then I think that's where this show really shines, right?
It's
a community coming together, mm-hmm. even after they have gone off the stage, mm-hmm. where someone's like, oh, wait, by the way, I could totally add with that. The disease itself was very rare. The quote was 1 out of 50,000. So
crazy.
To your point, I mean, it's not a good thing, but it's definitely better, you know, someone else with it. And it's not just you, because I'm sure people will say it's probably in your head, or what are you wearing, or what are you eating, you know?
Especially if it's rare and unheard of. So she's like, she says, like, okay, I'm not the only one that has something like this. Now they are sisters though, so it could be, you know, something genetic. We don't know, but it's like I said, it's still somebody,
right? Absolutely. Moving on, Shannon had a very unique case in herself. She actually had osteonecrosis of the jaw. So, taking a step back, she had radiation therapy for her mouth cancer, and it turns out there was some degradation in her jawline. Mm-hmm. She has a loving family, which is really good to have that network, yeah. Sierra. I mean, to be out there on your own and feeling like you're feeling it, but you can tell that what she has physically and emotionally is definitely weighing on her. Now, I wonder your thoughts about that, about how she had stage 4 cancer of the tongue and had 103 lymph nodes removed.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, for one, she survived her tongue cancer, right? So to see how you survive at stage 4 at that. So say, if you don't know, stage 4 is like the worst stage. It's kind of like almost a wrap if you're in stage 4. So the fact that she overcame that, she survived that, and then that trickled, the radiation caused that, her jawline, that hurt my feelings, because it was kind of like, okay, she overcame the big obstacle, yeah. but now the treatment that was to help that obstacle caused something else.
Right.
And that kind of related to me, because my mom had breast cancer, and, you know, she was a 2-time breast cancer survivor, but... Awesome. After a year, stuff just kept going off. Like, other stuff just started to get triggered. So it's kind of like, it's crazy how getting treated for something can start other things. Right. And that's what makes it hard. And like, you know, what's the point of the treatment if it's going to have all these side effects and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, we're seeing a common trend with people with these diseases and families, seeing that they are already a burden. Like, I understand it must be difficult for everyone involved, but I can only imagine if you're not the person suffering and that other person is, like, withdrawing and having depression. I mean, to me, I felt like Shannon had a good network, but, I mean, she was definitely feeling the effects of saying, hey, look, a stray hit to my jaw can destroy it, you know?
I can honestly say, because, like I said, I've been through that and I've seen it firsthand. The person being ill can definitely feel like a burden, no matter whether they have a gang of people there for them or whether they have no one.
Right.
It just doesn't matter. They can get all the love they want, but at the end of the day, they're dealing with something very serious. So that's not going to change anything. It does help, yes, mm-hmm. but like they're always, it's just a natural feeling. So that definitely broke my heart, because I know what that feels like.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And our doctor team, we're definitely out there working in full force, trying to figure mm-hmm. out how they can treat that. And I thought it was pretty awesome that they showed an actual model of her jaw, so she can see where exactly the degradation was. And it's just so interesting to me how even though that these doctors and these medicines exist, they're not like inventing things for the show, but the access to care, the access to the thing, is definitely something that we should be more of, you know?
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Just moving on to one of the more unique cases on the episode, Ashlyn. Ashlyn's a young girl that says she feels no pain. She's broken bones. She has lacerations. She has she says that one time she went running and she fell over and she saw blood trickling down, didn't know how much the damage is. And at first, I was like, that must be nice. And
that's cool.
Right, not feeling any pain. Yeah. You know, many times you'll do that, but you can tell that it was kind of weighing on her as well, because she was saying that, look, everyone says it's a good thing. Everyone says I'm a superhero. Everyone says I should fight crime, but I just want to be treated as a normal person. So, yeah, let me ask you about this. So imagine if you're suffering from a condition and you're trying to put your best face on and trying to support yourself. How do you, like, I can imagine, how would you even, like, approach the idea of trying to be saying, hey, treat me as a normal person. Don't treat me as a freak or someone different.
Ooh, in her condition or for me?
In her condition as a jumping off point.
Okay, yeah. But I think you have to understand, for her, well, we don't know, but I feel like the pressure of that can probably get, like, kind of like, because even though she may feel like a superhero, we never know what she's really going through. Right. So that's probably the part that's agonizing her. So for me, I don't know. that's kind of hard. That's a tough one because it's kind of like you can't, if I mean, if you feel no pain, that's unnormal, right?
Right.
So, of course, people are going to look at you differently. And it's a positive difference. Although it's you have a something wrong, it's a positive difference they see in you. So, I would think she would take it in a good way. But like I said, we're not in her shoes. We don't know what she's really going through. So, we can't say, oh, well, girl, just let it be. You know, just let them think you're superwoman. Because we never know. She's probably put on that front. You never, you know, you never know.
Yeah, you never know about something. What's going through their about. Or whatever, and I know we'll get about to that with another case, but I think now, if I were able to, like, you know, postulate a bit, that we have a bit of a platform with social media to say, hey, look, I feel different, I am different, this is what I would like. You can share your story with the world, even besides the Chasing the Cure aspect of the show, and saying, hey, look, this is what I, this is what I'm suffering from, but it doesn't change me. You know, I'm an old person, I love watching TV, I love going to the park, that sort of thing.
Luckily this show gave her that platform though to say it. So hopefully now that it's out there, now that she's on the show, that people will treat her normal.
Yeah, you know?
Exactly. So look, she, I mean, problem solved hopefully now.
Yeah, exactly. Problem solved hopefully now for sure. And one of the cases that was actually alluded to on the first episode got like a lot of time tonight. the curious case of the mother and daughter group of Deborah and Delaney. So they're both suffering from eyesight loss, and they were both going blind. So just a little backstory: they grew up in the Midwest, or they both were in the Midwest near a very, very bad environment, but moved to Anchorage, Alaska, and it turns out they were both losing their vision. Now that. Like, losing your eyesight, I'm sure it isn't the end of the world. You can still have a loved and productive life. But to be able to see it degrade must be something really scary, huh?
Very scary. And I remember they were saying, I was thinking, like, is it like a genetics thing? Or like they say, is it from where they were from? But Deborah, she started to lose her eyes or go legally blind around late 30s.
Right.
So as a kid, you know, she was fine. And then Delaney, she started to get problems at the age of seven.
Right.
So that's what kind of makes me think, okay, so was it inherited or, you know, but regardless of what it is, it's scary.
Yeah.
To even, like, you and your daughter going through the same exact thing, but it's like, how is it? At two different time points in your life, so I don't know. I can't wait to get more on that one. Honestly,
how scary was it when they had the theory that Deborah had a genetic disease that had mutated before Delaney? Like, how weird would that be if your two are suffering from two different things and there's no cure for every one of them? So to me, at first I was like, what is the worst case scenario? But our doctor team were on it, and I thought it was kind of interesting they decided to say, look, we can't cure them all at the same time because Deborah's situation and Delaney's a little different, and they decided to separate them and said, let's find out the cure for together. It turns out that there was a possibility from our I want to make sure I get this right. There was a possibility from our crowdsource group that said that they have Ehlers-Danlos disease, but that was disproven. But they did say that they have a possible treatment program for Delaney. Now, even though Deborah's legally blind and Delaney's on that path, I thought it was pretty interesting that they decided to separate the both of them. What do you think?
I think I agree, because like I said, one is legally blind, one is losing her sight. So it's although it's the same in the same family, it's kind of different. You know, one is already blind, one is getting there. So it's like almost trying to stop Delaney's, but figure out what they can do to help Deborah see. You know, so I feel like it is two different things. So I am glad they separated the two, because you can't have one cure for two different things.
Absolutely.
And like I said, obviously it's both about losing sight, but like I said, one is already blind and one is on the way. So we can probably stop hers and then also figure out how to help the one that already is, you know?
Right. So the doctor team had decided of doing a corneal transplant. And so I thought that was kind of it. Like, oh, a corneal transplant. And then they said, well, there's complications with it, and it may be rejected.
Complications
and all
that. With everything, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. I was at the end of my seat, like, oh man, Delaney, we're sorry. Because that would be a long way to travel to say, oops.
You know? But that's what's coming on the show.
Sure. But what did you... Thanks for coming. But there was also the other option of having basically a synthetic cornea instead, which wouldn't require the immunosuppressive materials. Yeah. And they really came together. By they, I mean like the producers and stuff to give like Delaney reading materials, because she's still 21 years old. I mean, that's very young. Young and spry.
A college student.
She's
in college.
See the world, travel and all that.
Full of life.
How would you react, though, if there was, if someone had gave you an idea of an option of saying, hey, look, there is a cure, but there would be complications, right? And I know there's always that debate of like, hey, look, I don't care because I want to make sure I'm cured. But like in Delaney's case, saying that, hey, look, it's just a couple of eye drops, you know, you'll be fine, as opposed to saying, hey, look, you may have to take a huge medication regimen to stay alive. I know that's supposed to be a hard debate for any person to take, you know?
I would have to know what the side effects are.
True.
I think it just depends on the side effects.
If it's a headache, you're cool, but if it's like...
Like, if I'm going to get a headache for a few days, okay, yeah, we're good. But if you toss some... Another something? No, yeah. No.
Yeah, for sure. So two episodes in.
I have to pray about that one.
It's like, wait a minute, flip a coin.
Not flip a coin.
Yeah, two episodes in of Chasing the Cure. I think now we're seeing more and more of how the crowd can actually help out with people with their different cases and all that. Was there anything missing for you just watching the show? Like, I wish they did more of this. I wish I had more of this aspect of the episode.
That's a good question. I feel like this, each episode, actually, I feel like it had a wider range of stuff going on. You had, like, you know, then the family comes in the beginning, then you have them sitting on the couch, then you have them going live, then you have, so I think they touch on so much,
yeah,
that I don't think it was bad, but it's a lot to keep up with.
Sure, sure.
So I guess if I could change anything, I don't know, because yeah, I feel like that's the purpose of the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ask me that next week.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, we're only on episode 3. Let me notice something. Yeah,
Well, there's one thing I wish that they did more of, and I know it could be kind of tacky, but I wish they had more analytics, right? I wish they had like more polls or more infographic representations of what the crowd was thinking of, because I feel like they pick and choose what people are saying.
Oh,
so they can
okay.
like say, hey, this may be true, this may not be true, but I'd love to say, hey, 90% of our people think you have this, just to see what America's thinking.
I like that. But honestly, that sounds more, not saying what they're doing now is not credible, but it sounds more credible because it's like, okay, I have a large percent of people that can relate, so maybe this is the solution.
Sure.
Versus they're probably picking a person that only have a 10%. Only one, two people said that.
Right.
You have 90 other people.
Yeah, I
agree. I like that. I'll go with that one.
Before moving on to episode 3, Sierra, can you do us a favor and tell the world how we can tune to other AfterBuzz shows?
Yes. So, guys, of course, you know we love you. We love you so much for tuning in every week with us, but we have to make sure you keep going. So make sure you subscribe to not only our after show, but all of our after shows, and as well as go on our iTunes, our Spotify. Give us those 5 stars and make sure you just listen to us. We love you. And of course, leave your comments down below. We would love to hear what you guys think about our show. So thank you.
That's amazing. Episode 3 rolls on with a very curious case of Sean. Sean was eating 6,000 calories a day, but his body was still wasting away. 39 years old. And he was, again, a common theme with these diseases, the psychological effect. He's from Alabama. What's the word? Leeds, Alabama. There it is. And he was saying people, his local doctors were thinking the worst, that he was on drugs, and that was a reason for it. But it seemed to be one of the more... relatable, I guess, conditions, because everyone is talking about, well, here's the reasons why I think you have this decision, yeah, but we didn't really know. Thoughts about that case?
Well, I'm going to say his story in general. Yeah. You know, he's a widow now. He has 2 daughters, correct?
Yes.
So that alone was what first struck me. You no longer have a wife. You have 2 little girls left behind, and you're going through something like this.
Right.
So it's not only like you have to be strong for yourself. You have 2 young kids you have to be strong for as well.
Yeah.
On top of that, you don't know what is causing this. So it's not like you could figure out how to fight this, how to go against it. But in general, his disease in general, I mean, I never heard of a lot of these situations, scenarios, but a lost weight... It's a lot of different things that can go into that one. So his in particular, I want to get more into, because it's a lot of reasons that I know personally that can cause weight loss and stuff like that. It could be stress. Like, stress causes that. So I want to see more of his story too, because you have people say it could be drugs.
Right.
Like I said, it could be a lot of things. So,
right.
But obviously his is more severe. So I want to know what type of severity of this is, you know?
Absolutely. It was interesting that the Mayo Clinic stepped up and was testing Sean to see what was going on. So mm-hmm. we'll probably get an update for that.
Yeah.
And Charles Barkley makes a little video saying what's up, also from Leeds, Alabama. He said like a bunch of times, like, how cool is that Charles was like, you know what, Sean, you get better. And I was like, dang, Charles.
Right? Thank you for being human.
Sorry, I mean, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm like spoiled because there's actually a lot of famous people from Brooklyn, but the fact that
Charles is a lot of New York, yeah. New York in general, good grief.
Yeah. Shout out to New York. So Quindella was a second case. Quindella was a social media influencer. We're talking about having her own platform. Very, very similar to Shannon's last week. And Shannon does make an appearance here. She was a cancer survivor, but the radiation therapy basically cut the blood vessels through her mouth, and she had severe teeth decay. Again, she's also in her 20s. I can imagine that might be something she was hiding behind. Do you think that this case would be even more complex because she was so in social media, because she was so forward in public eye?
What do you mean by, like, you would it be more complex just because she was an influencer?
Well, yeah, because there's thousands of people looking at you and commenting on what you do every day. You think that'd be a lot more pressure to come forward and say, hey, look, this is what I'm suffering with, or be more inclined to keep it to yourself or chest?
I would say yes, but knowing what she's going through, I feel like someone would be kind of, I hate to say, evil to bash her, you know, because right. It's kind of like, this is something serious. You know, I'm pretty sure if you're going through this, how would you feel about coming out openly? So I feel like she did what she did to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Not saying it was okay, but like I said, you never know what people are going through. So I feel like coming out about it, now she has a following. Like she said, I have a good, like 20,000 followers. So clearly she has supporters, people that clearly like her for her. So I feel like she comes out and tell the truth now, I feel like that would draw them more to her. Absolutely. Because like I said, this is a real life condition, and so no one should make fun of that, right, whether they knew the whole time or not. And in this, like I said, she have 20,000 people. She could be a help to them. You never know who's following her. It right. could be a help to them. So I hope that she does openly come out on her social media. I mean, because it's life. Be real. And I noticed in just in general, people like real.
Right.
They want to follow real. They don't want to follow fake. And not saying like her, I'm just saying like in general, like people respect that. People feel like they connect with you more. So I feel like this will expand her fan base.
But there's always that internal debate of saying, you know what, this is something I can keep to myself and I can't tell social media about this, versus, no, this is me. I know we had that struggle with even our own lives.
Yeah,
know?
True, yeah.
Because we don't say on social media, I'm having a bad day, or, well, maybe we might, but I'm something like that.
Or people say that people don't post the bad, they're always going to post the good, so don't compare your lives
exactly.
to people.
I always post payday, not the day before payday. It's a whole different
You're gonna catch me bummy, but you're gonna catch me real cute.
Okay. Well, she got the help she needed. I mean, she was trying to find a dental team that actually will look at it, and a team of dentists stepped up and say, look, this is the most complex thing we've ever seen, but we're going to give it a shot. Which, again, to the whole theme of, like, access to these teams, right? That's what's pretty awesome about
that. I feel like her story made it interesting, though. It was different.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting no one to say, I'm a social media influencer, and it's like, you're going through this? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So you've been really holding this up for, like, good for a long time. So to me, I was like, okay, let's hear it.
Seriously.
Like, okay, clearly it's been working.
Moving on, we actually had the story of the SoCal girl, Frankie, at age 13, woke up one day suddenly with 70% of hearing loss in her left ear. Mm-hmm. Couldn't surf because she was afraid about losing the hearing in her other ear. Let's just thoughts about that. The idea, you're so young, you're an athlete, or trying to be an athlete, and then bam, hearing is just gone overnight.
That's scary, because I'm pretty sure, like you said, with the surfing, she didn't know what step to take next. And it was kind of like, do I keep doing it and risk my other ear? But I think it's kind of hard to make that decision when you don't even know what caused the hearing.
Right.
So I'll have to say, first situation, it was good that she was being, you know, safe. But it's like, you know, don't stop until somebody says stop.
Because
it could be something totally different that's causing this hearing problem. And I don't know much about surfing, but I don't know if surfing affects your hearing. I don't know.
But she was worried about, like, water splashing in and have that pop thing, you know?
The right ear, though, or the left
ear? Her good ear. Like, she already lost it in there, and she was worried about, like, damaging the other one.
So it's probably just probably just being safe. So I mean, I get that.
So it turns out that it was caused by a virus, viral infection in the ear, which you know, it's not great, but then they actually figure out what was it. The awesome part for me was that she was gifted the Marvel Audio hearing aid, which was Bluetooth enabled. I didn't know this existed. So, like, on the show, she got a phone call. I was like, yeah, that's straight up.
No, that is cool.
Yeah, straight up Tony Stark, man. That was pretty awesome. But I love the fact that they found an idea, even though it may not be a cure per se, but it was cool that she was able to go back and surf, which we saw the last season.
Yeah,
going back and
definitely.
Surf. It was pretty awesome. And our final case of the night was Brenda, who woke up with a headache that didn't go away for nine years.
Years.
Now, In my old age, I have what was called ocular migraines. That's the thing where you can't, where your eye basically starts a migraine where you can't read, and then like you get like a split splotch here. It's very debilitating, and it comes and goes. I got like one every year, year and a half. So it's like, okay, you know, I could deal with it. I have Excedrin in my car. It's cool. But I can imagine I can't imagine getting up and having a headache for 9 years and not figuring out what was going on. That image of that plate of medication was so scary.
It was scary. Well, I want to say I just had my first migraine ever, like last week.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, and that was a lot. So I can't imagine going through that for 9 years straight and not getting a cure ASAP. Because for me, it affected me driving in the car, me looking at my, it just messes with a lot of everyday activities, I feel.
Yeah.
So to do that for 9 years, it's like, how was she navigating, like how was she pushing through every day? And I know that can be very stressful and draining for her, so I really hope she gets a cure. Because, and I hopefully, because I mean, usually a headache, it can be something like it can detect what it is, so hopefully we can get a detection. It's a curable detection.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, it was interesting to me that like the doctor team, and including Joey G, because I wrote it down because I love his tattoos. It was dope. He was a doctor, but he had like rings and tattoos, and it was like very SoCal. But saying that the treatment is going to be a cure, but we can reduce the migraine intensity about 30% to 50%. And she was so relieved. That just told you how debilitating that was. If she's like, "Oh, you're going to be half better?" Perfect, you know?
Well, I will take that half. Because, I mean, absolutely. Like, so we know what migraines feel like. And 9 years is a long time.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give me half, maybe we get the other half in another 9 years. I don't know.
Migraines are just a big mystery, man.
Give me something. I will take it. So, yeah, it's good to see her joy.
Her former diagnosis was a daily persistent headache. And she will be on tap for another spinal tap in the future to find out what exactly is a problem.
Yeah.
Before moving on, I'd like to, now it's time for our news segment. Sierra, tell the world.
Yes, so after actually watching the episode, it was actually episode 2, they have a fun little segment they do on the episode, and it was kind of actually informational for me, so I want to come share with the AfterBuzzers, because we love you. So I want to ask you real fast, have you ever drunk hot water before? Or like while that was sitting in your car, and you just drink it?
Out of the plastic bottle?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we all do. Don't you guys? I do too. So it was cool to learn some fun facts about
right
that.
Now,
So let me give you some health tips, okay? So if you have refrigerated water, it's good up to a week.
Really?
So if you keep your water refrigerated, you can drink it after a week. So if we go to the next slide. Now, if you have that hot car water we was talking about, it's only good after 1 to 2 days.
What?
Exactly.
How do I store my water then?
You said what?
How do I store my water? If I buy water,
you better drink it.
Okay, that's how it works. In my body.
And 1 to 2 days.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
It was in the hot car. And then, so for me, of course, you're probably thinking, well, it's water. You know, water's supposed to be healthy no matter what condition it is. So it's like, how does that get bacteria? So next slide is going to tell us. So how does water go bad? So as you know, every time you, for example, we don't like to drink after someone, right? Because it's bacteria.
Right.
So same thing with ourselves. We have our own bacteria. So every time you drink a sip of water, that bacteria goes back in that bottle.
Ew.
So if you let that sit in the hot sun or sit, that's what causes the bacteria and all that stuff to come back in. So the mouth bacteria goes into the water bottle, and that's what causes the issue.
Oh, I see.
So that was welcome to my fun fact TED Talk, guys. So make sure you keep your water refrigerated or just drink it. Don't leave it in the hot car, sis. And it is summertime, okay? It's California here and it's hot. I don't know where you guys are, but keep the water out.
You basically said everyone had a yuck mouth. That is disgusting.
It's okay, guys. I've done it too. We've all done it. That's why I want to bring it to you to help.
And I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that new segment. I'm going to be very aware with the drinking the water in my car now.
All right.
Now it's time for our special segment, one we're calling Tools for the Cure. I like that drop. Well, one of the coolest things about chasing the cure and seeing so many doctors come together with different methods to find out the cure for these diseases, or at least be on the path of treatment, is seeing the different kinds of technology here, right? So today we talked about that Bluetooth-enabled hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I thought was pretty cool in Shannon's case with her problem with her jaw is that the doctors actually use a 3D printer to come out with a model of her jaw to show her and pinpoint where exactly her bone degradation was. She was suffering from osteomicrosis, which means death of the bone. We thought that was pretty cool. 3D printers have been used in recent times to really show patients models of their body parts, or even a prosthetic limbs, 3D printed arms or legs, or even the teeth set there. In fact, I'm right here. According to KRM.com, true now of CBS News, in Spokane, Washington, 3D printing has been used to show up model organs to patients to see how they can use and how they can show how organs are affected by certain diseases. So I love the fact that 3D printing has actually been a part of it, which means only a matter of time before that luxury technology, quote unquote, comes down to the masses. You know, like a luxury car has like the automatic windows back in the 90s and now everyone got one. That's exactly the thing about that. So that is my tool of the cure this evening. Next week, we have some other stories highlighted. One of the ones I want to ask you about was about Mallory. Mallory had excessive weight gain overnight, almost suddenly, and lesions all over her body. It seems that she's going to be the highlight case for next week. Now, I know that must be painful for Mallory, but just imagine being a mom of two, and then all of a sudden you have these things that are unexplainable. Just thoughts to your mind about that.
Scary. And I feel for everyone, but when you have young kids, I feel like that probably makes it so much worse. Because my mom was sick, she was worried about herself, but she was more worried about us.
Right.
So it's kind of like, wow, it's crazy how a mom could be so selfless, going through probably on their not deathbed, but you know, never and too worried about her kids. So that for me, I'm sorry, that just hurts me because it's like I don't know what's going on. I still have my kids who I'm more worried about because I'm their mom. They need me. So that in itself, but the fact of her actual condition, it's a lot of people we've seen that had some type of skin disease or issue. And then all the three episodes, honestly. So I want to see how they all play a part. It's crazy to see how it can be so many different skin diseases and growths and Jeremy, I think that was the guy. Yes, it's just so much. So I want to see how hers is different.
Yeah, that's definitely.
And weight loss. We had a lot of weight loss or weight gain. So it was a lot of said that.
Yeah, this is kind of a gross story. But one time I was out on the beach. It was like a wild beach with the overgrowth and grass. And I got like bit by like sand fleas. Those bugs, and I am allergic to sand fleas apparently. Those kind of like swelled up a bit, and even though they over a week they're done, you know, they go away, I was absolutely miserable. I just felt like everything was like my irritability level was up through the roof. Yeah. Like, I just didn't want to deal with anybody. Like
that's the worst, being irritated.
Yeah, it's just like gnats or even not gnats, like mosquito bites. You know, you're just kind of like, oh man, I just can't stop scratching at it. But here's someone who actually has open sores, which is even worse. So forget like finding out the cure. Just also the psychological component of like, man, I'm just not myself. But I'm so glad you mentioned Jeremy because it seems that, you know, Jeremy's on the path to becoming a normal person. You know,
a new person.
His confidence is back.
He said he got people texting him saying, hey, Jeremy.
You saw that picture he was trolling? I was like, really?
But that honestly made me happy. His story made me so sad. Like, he didn't like to look at himself. He got bullied. He didn't want the people to talk about him. He was paranoid. So to see that whole transformation, not just on his face, but his personality, his spirit, that made me happy. So I was like, yes, girls, go get him. Go get at him.
I think you're handsome. I was like, okay.
Okay, Jeremy.
I remember that feeling too. So we have
also
an update too for one of our original cases from the episode on Rory. So Rory was an individual teacher that fell down. Yeah. Became immobile and it was kind of losing her voice. It seemed that over 300 people have tried to donate their voice to be part of her synthetic voice, with 40 people making the next audition. Just thoughts about that Rory story of going from being able-bodied to being in the wheelchair to having everyone show her pouring out support.
I did like that for her voice when the doctor said, you know, how they can do the voice and make it like, you know, sound like hers with someone else's voice. I did like that because that's actually one, you know, healing for her. Now, as far as the walking, I don't know if they got two and
No, she's probably getting her genome map to see what the problem was.
So for that part. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So it's good they tackled the voice. I thought that was actually a good technology thing. I didn't know you can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
and
thought
they're so cool with it too. Like, when does map your genome? It's cool.
Like she just said, and I'm like, this, you can do this? Yeah. I thought you see this in movies or something. So I mean, I liked it. I've never heard of it, so I thought that was dope that it can be done. And the fact that so many people volunteered to do that, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's really good people out here.
Yeah. Would you donate your voice in that situation, or would you find that kind of weird that your voice is on someone's like synthetic voice? Just curious. There's no right answer there.
Probably not. Lungs, we're not in the same place at the same time. We're in a different state. Of course, I don't mind. Yeah, so, yeah.
To help Rory out, I would, but it'd be weird to hear my voice on someone else's.
Yeah, we gotta be far away from each other.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in the chat today. You can always interact with the show right by leaving a comment here. But before we get out of here, where can the world find you on social media, Sierra?
You can find me on my Instagram at Sierra Stafford TV and on my Twitter at Sierra B Stafford. And go follow because I do watch. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. And of course, I'm Flobo Voice. You can follow me at Flobo Voice on Twitter, at Flobito on Instagram, and Flobito.com. And for Sierra, until next time, be well.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.